Our next presenter is going to talk about comparison of soil applied flue gas desulfurization and agricultural gypsum on soil physical properties.
Thank you, Dexter. My name is Francisco Arriaga. I am a research soil scientist in the National Soil Dynamics Lab in Auburn, Alabama with the USDA ARS. And as Dexter mentioned, I'm going to be talking about soil physical properties and, you know, the effect from applying commercially available gypsum, mine gypsum, and FGD gypsum. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the background.
Supposed to use this pointer.
The presenters earlier this morning have done a great job giving you the background and the difference between FGD and the mine gypsum, what I'm calling here commercial gypsum. I do want to just talk about a little bit about soil functions. When we're trying to apply this gypsum, we're talking about trying to help the soil, improve soil health, soil quality. So what are we talking about is actually soil functions, different chemical, physical, biological. And so a lot of the work that's done, it's looking at the chemical properties. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of work done on the microbiological side. But what I'm going to talk to you about today is just the soil physical aspect of soil quality, if you will. And these, some of the things that are listed here, as texture, structure, infiltration, bulk density, water holding capacity, aggregate stability, soil organic matter, these are seen as indicators of soil quality. Not a single one can be identified as saying, oh, this is the key parameter. But combined as a whole, they'll give you your soil quality. There has been some work already, obviously, looking at gypsum and different rates of gypsum on soil and looking at physical properties. So it happens to be all these three studies here that were conducted or published in 92. The first one, it's by Bauder and Brock. They looked at gypsum in a silty clay soil. They did not see any difference in bulk density, but they did see an increase in EC in the sodium absorption ratio. They actually did notice some differences in the bulk density, but there were some interactions with the crops they were using. It was a greenhouse study, but it was not a clear trend. Ben Ur and all, also 92, they published and reported that infiltration rate increased after phosphogypsum application, and they looked at six different South African soils. And Louis Baumhard and others down in Texas, they also reported some increase in infiltration after power gypsum applications on a silt loam soil. So the objective of this work was to evaluate the impact of gypsum soil amendments on productivity in chemical and physical properties. The study was established in Crossville, Auburn University Research Station in the San Mountain area.
Right around here.
It's in a Bermuda hay system. The soil, it's a hard silt fine sandy loam. It's a ultisol. So it's a coarse texture soil, if you will. They're moderately deep, but they're very well-drained soils. So the treatments, I think Dexter just previous presentation talked about these treatments. They were established in May 2009, if I'm not mistaken. 2008, okay. So the product description I had, 09, sorry. So 2008, and there were different products applied, commercial gypsum at three different rates, 2, 10, and 20 megagrams per hectare, FGD gypsum at the same three rates. There's also a fly ash treatment at the three rates also. Then there's agricultural lime and 10 megagrams per hectare. Also a mixture of FGD gypsum and ag lime, 5 and 5 for a total of 10, and then a control treatment. So in March of 2011, and this was a single-time application. In March of 2011, so this past March, we went and took some measurements. We actually looked at infiltration using a sprinkle infiltrometer. Because of time constraints and labor, we focused on the commercial and FGD gypsum for this measurement at the three different rates and also measure control treatments. We did two measurements per plot, and we use a quote-unquote rainfall rate of 0.4 of centimeter per minute. We also looked at penetration resistance using a multi-probe tractor-mounted penetrometer. As you can see in this picture, this tractor-mounted penetrometer has five rods, so you can take five readings simultaneously, and we did three locations per plot for a total of 15 readings per plot. We also looked at infield electrical conductivity using a Varis 3100 at the two depths, the shallow that usually corresponds to 0 to 1 foot, and the deep that corresponds to about 0 and 3 feet of depth, roughly. And so for results of infiltration, we can see here there was actually no differences. This was, 32 months, I guess, after application. Like I mentioned, it was a single application. We also took some measurements in an undisturbed area adjacent to the plots. It was also on Bermuda. It was a large field that was split into different sections for the study. And we did see a difference where the undisturbed had a lower infiltration rates compared to the rest. I guess I would like to mention, too, the original purpose of this study was actually to look at phosphorus fate in the environment. And there was an application, broadcast application, to the entire test area of poultry litter, if I'm not mistaken, right, Dexter? And so that's why part of the reason why we did measure the undisturbed area, because that area had not had any poultry litter. So some of the effects that we might see here is it's due maybe some confounding issues with the poultry litter application. We're still trying to work with this data, so we just collected it this past spring. Looking at penetration resistance in the red, well, what we see on the y-axis is depth with zero on the top, and then cone index at the bottom. The red is the control, and then in the pink here, we're just looking at the commercial gypsum at the three different rates. And there are some significant differences, but it's actually, when you look at penetrometer data, there's really not much of a difference between the control and the commercial gypsum. Looking at the FGD gypsum, the three different rates also compared to the control, really no differences there. And comparing to the fly ash in the green, also no differences. When we look at the three different materials at the three different rates, we see that they just there's no difference between these. One thing I'd like to point out that is that the 2 megapascals cone index right here that has been identified as the root restricting, and you can see for the most part we did not really exceed that 2 megapascals, so the conditions for root growth were actually favorable. Now, when we look at the field electrical conductivity and looking at the shallow depth, we can see that we have some significant differences. First thing that we can note here is that, for the most part, the AC increased with the higher rates. Then followed kind of by the medium and some of the high rates, there was no significant difference between that grouping there in the yellow. And then basically the rest of the treatments. And if we compare that to the undisturbed site, you know, the undisturbed site actually had the lowest EC on the shallow. If we look at the EC deep, actually the grouping, it's a little bit nicer. And we can clearly see that the higher rates, we had greater EC values, followed by the medium rate, and then also some of the medium, and then the lower, and then the controls on some of the other materials. And again, the undisturbed had a lower EC reading relative to the other treatments. So what is this telling us? Well, basically it's telling us that gypsum actually has gone, and it's actually gone into the profile, has leached, and it's probably safe to say that it's probably down to about a 3 foot distributed from that 0 to 3 depth. It probably has leached even deeper. Remember, I would like to recall that this is a single time application, and that it was done at about 32 months prior to taking these measurements. So I'd like to summarize by looking at the three different, comparing it to the three different works that I mentioned earlier that were published in '92. And what are the differences? Well, the first thing that should strike here is that the soil we were working with in, for these conditions was a coarser type texture soil relative to the soils in these three different publications. The other big difference is that all these measurements were done shortly after application of gypsum 2, where in our case, it was almost 3 years afterwards. So in conclusion, none of the gypsum amendments at the rate studied affected water filtration or penetration resistance. In this case, it's 21 months. That's actually then a typo. It should be 32 months, or 33 months, actually. Soil electrical conductivity was affected by the soil amendments used. Gypsum material appeared to have leach, with more leaching at higher application rates. And I would like to conclude saying that annual applications of gypsum might be necessary to alter soil physical properties, especially in these coarse texture soils. And with that, I'll address any questions, if there are any.